From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, October 5th. Coming up, we hear from a Bradley University professor who's doing research into how COVID-19 is affecting film distribution. That conversation is just ahead. But first, these headlines. 13th District Congressman Rodney Davis and Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan will be asked about issues ranging from the economy to police reform when they meet tonight in Champaign for a broadcast debate. But the candidates may have the most to say on the topic of health care. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Both candidates have made health care a major campaign issue both this year and in 2018. Democrat Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan says she supports passage of a health care public option, a government-run health insurance program to compete with private insurance. Republican incumbent Rodney Davis says the public option would cut payments to rural hospitals, forcing many to close. But Dirksen-Londrigan says she'd work for a public option that didn't do that.
Any option that I would support, I would make sure to be working with the hospitals and the doctors and the healthcare workers and communities to figure out what exactly we need to do to make something like that work.
While Dirksen-Londrigan wants to expand the Affordable Care Act, Davis wants to replace it. Under the law, he says some 60 million Americans still lack health insurance or have insurance they can't afford to use due to high copays and deductibles. Davis says a Republican health care bill that passed the House in 2017 but stalled in the Senate was a good alternative.
That would have protected pre-existing condition coverage for every single American. It would have lowered premiums for Americans so that insurance coverage could have been more affordable for those 60 million Americans.
While both Davis and Dirksen-Londrigan see health care as key to the election, the issue now falls under the shadow of the COVID-19 pandemic and a case before the U.S. Supreme Court that seeks to kill the Affordable Care Act. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
The hour-long debate begins tonight at 7. You can watch it on WILL-TV Channel 12, X49, or the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel, or listen to it on AM 580 or FM 90.9. Springfield police say 3 months of investigation into a deadly workplace shooting has yielded few details to help find a motive. Police Chief Kenny Winslow says they believe the victims were targeted at the Bun-O-Matic plant on Stevenson Drive.
The suspect walked past several other employees and walked to the workstations of Mr. Allmiller, killing him first. He then walked to the adjacent workstation of Mr. Gibbons and shot him at close range. He possessed two firearms that day with extra ammunition, extra magazines, but did not utilize them.
Winslow went on to say the shooter walked out with other co-workers as they fled the building, but before leaving in his vehicle, walked back to shoot one of the victims in the parking lot. The suspect, 48-year-old Michael Collins, was later found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in neighboring Morgan County. Winslow says there are theories as to why the incident occurred, but no concrete evidence. Illinois is sending $80 million worth of CARES Act money to more than 450 of the state's poorest school districts, including Danville. As Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines reports, the money is specifically intended to close the digital divide.
Danville School District 118 in East Central Illinois has received about $322,000 to help pay for devices and internet connectivity for students. Narcissus Rankin is the chief school business officer for Danville Schools. She says the district prioritized devices for its 5th through 12th graders who are learning totally remotely. Meanwhile, she says their kindergarten through 4th graders who come to school for half days don't have devices to take home.
The thing that we've learned the most from the whole shutting down of school in March last year is that we got some gaps to fill.
Rankin says the extra money from the CARES Act will help the district achieve its goal of providing each student with their own device and internet to students who need it. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County reported 100 new COVID-19 cases, 72 on Saturday and 28 yesterday. The number of active cases in the county dropped to 360 yesterday, ending 10 days of steady increases. The University of Illinois Urbana campus reported 27 new cases of COVID-19 over the weekend. Officials say the 9 cases from testing data on Saturday were the lowest single-day total since August 16th. The campus's 7-day positivity rate has fallen slightly to 0.32%. Vermilion County reported 56 new COVID-19 cases over the weekend. The Vermilion County Health Department says the number of active cases stands at 176, a gradual increase over the last 2 weeks. Still to come, we'll learn how the COVID-19 pandemic is having an impact on film distribution. That's next on 217 Today.
Hey, this is Eunice Alpasan, engagement producer for The 21st. You can help shape our news coverage. Here's how it works. Just text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We'll send you weekly questions on issues affecting Illinois. We might even mention your answers on The 21st. Text TALK to 217-803-0730 and join the conversation.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The pandemic has drastically changed how we watch movies. That's having a big impact not only on movie studios, but also local theaters. Tim Shelley spoke with Corey Barker, a Bradley University professor who's researching how COVID-19 is affecting film distribution.
Early in the pandemic, there were a number of films that were slated to be released in early March, right when the pandemic really hit badly in the United States, and how studios decided to push a lot of those planned theatrical releases to what they're calling, you know, premium video on demand, which is essentially dropping it on iTunes or the Amazon store or Google Play. And instead of allowing you to rent it for $3 or $6, they were charging $20, because the idea was that this is supposed to be a movie that's in theaters and therefore pay a premium. And obviously that's an attempt to try to make some money back that they're losing from it not being in the theater.
How successful have theaters been in trying to push new releases and more people to these platforms?
To be honest, I don't feel like it's been as successful as they had hoped. In the beginning of our pandemic world in the United States, there was a lot more of this experimentation to try to make some of that money up. And then as we got into May and June, when we're reaching basically the normal kind of summer blockbuster calendar, there was obviously a real resistance from the major studios to release films that wouldn't, you know, theoretically make $1 billion or more than $1 billion worldwide in the theater. And so you started to see more kind of panic and consideration for what to do. You know, the big kind of talking point was surrounding Disney's Mulan. And Disney took another approach with Mulan and decided to release it to Disney Plus. And they said, if you want to pay $30, so even more of a premium, this is an opportunity to see a movie that we were planning on releasing in theaters. But then Disney announced that it was pushing all of its planned, you know, movies that it was going to release this fall and this winter that were originally planned to be released in the spring and summer to next year, or even, you know, at the end of next year. And there wasn't really a suggestion that many of those films would go to Disney Plus. So that tells me that as we move through this pandemic and people's experiences have kind of dragged on at being mostly in their house and stuck with certain types of entertainment, not being able to access others, the experimentation that was happening earlier in the pandemic has kind of gone by the wayside as the studios realize that their primary way of making money is really the best way for them forward, even if that means taking 6 months to a year before they release those movies.
Theaters still are only kind of operating right now for the most part. So what's this mean for the future of it?
What's interesting is that the studios have enough to try to wait this out a little bit longer. But as the pandemic has progressed, we've seen tons of stories about theater chains not necessarily having the resources to be able to wait these things out, right? As far as financially, when these movie theaters opened up and they didn't necessarily get the new releases, that's kind of a self-generating cycle where they don't have a lot of new releases. People are still skeptical, so they don't go to the theater. And then the studios say, well, people aren't going to the theater. They're not risking it, so no, we're not going to release another new film, right? And so that just keeps moving forward.
Corey, thank you so much for your time today, and really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Corey Barker is a professor at Bradley University. He's doing research into how COVID-19 is affecting film distribution. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Sean Crawford, Lee Gaines, and Tim Shelley. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.